think I was expecting one more song. I'm glad to be here this morning. Glad everybody is here with us. When we're reading out of the book of John, chapter number 13, and also 1 John, chapter number 3, before we read from the Word of God, I want to say I appreciate Brother Allen filling in for us last Sunday. We were able to go out of town for a couple of days. Really enjoyed that. Appreciate the church. I understand we had some rough weather here last Sunday, but it's a beautiful day out there today. It's a beautiful day for Easter Sunday. It's a beautiful day when they went on the first day of the week, and they went early in the morning to the tomb, and they got there, and they found that He was risen. Because He lives, we can live. You know, the church, when they first met, when the early church began to meet, and they didn't meet on the Sabbath day, they met on the first day of the week, and that's Sunday. When they would meet one another, the greeting was, He is risen. And the counter greeting was, He is risen indeed. And because He lives, they knew that they had life. And they knew that they had a Savior. Now this morning, what I'm going to preach to you about, or preach about a little bit, is not necessarily an Easter message. But I will tell you this, it's what I believe God wants me to preach about. Amen. See, I believe that if we're listening close to the Holy Spirit, we're going to be listening to what God says, and we're going to be trying to do what God wants. God knows more about our needs, the needs in my life, and the needs in your life, than we do. And if we'd listen to God and allow God to work in our lives and speak to us and through us, what God wants to do is help you be the very best that you can be. Sometimes people say, well, I don't want to go to church because they're going to want this for me, or they're going to want that for me. I tell you what God wants. God wants you. He does not want your stuff. He does not want to change you into somebody that nobody will recognize. But He wants you to understand how much He loves you. And that's really what I want to preach about this morning. I'm going to preach on this subject. Behold, what manner of love. And I want to begin reading in 1 John chapter number 3, just a couple of verses. And then I'm going to go back to the 13th chapter of John and probably then go back to this scripture again. But I want you to listen to what this scripture says. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth not us, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, I'm going to go back over to the 13th chapter of John, and this is where Jesus, and it's a short time before He was to be crucified, where He washed His disciples' feet. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, and that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Now, a couple of things as I'm reading this, I'd like for you to pay attention to. I want you to pay attention to the love that Jesus had for His disciples, which is the same love that He has for you. But every time you see the word new or knowing, I want you to pay attention to that. It says, in supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments, and took a towel and girdeth Himself. After He had poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith He was girded, then cometh Simon Peter, and Peter said unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not to wash save his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. And if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. And I want to flip down and just read two more verses, the 34th and the 35th verse. It says, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And I want to go back and read that first verse in the first chapter of, third chapter of 1 John. It says this, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I want to, just for a few minutes, share with you the things that are on my heart. And I want to try to preach on this subject, Behold, what manner of love. And, you know, generally when you say behold, and I begin to think about this, trying to get people to understand how much God loves you. You know, there are times that my wife will come into wherever I'm at, and she will have the phone in her hand. You know, you ladies, I know you all have Facebook accounts. And I know you young people, you got the Snapchats and all the other chats and all that stuff. And my wife will come in there and she'll have a picture. Or she'll have something that she's seen. Now, since we got a little granddaughter, here's what it is a lot of times. It's a picture of our granddaughter. And she's doing something. Her mother's dressed her up like they do. And she says, look at this. It's like, behold. You know, sometimes I can be almost asleep. And she'll get me out of a deep sleep to show me a picture. And, you know, and she gets some by the hundreds. Now, I don't ask for every one of them, but every now and then she'll show me one, and it'll be so sweet, and it'll be so precious. And you know how now you can hold your finger on it, and it's a live picture. And she showed me one of that little granddaughter, and she was giggling. And I said, send me that. I got to have that. And then she sent me, and she'll show me another one. I say, you got to send me that one too. She showed me one of my little grandson. It was actually squeezing my little granddaughter. And it's like, look at this. And I said, you got to send me that. Now, I don't have as many as her. She has to have a hard drive connected to the computer to put them all in. But I got some. You know, some of you young people, and I notice this on days like today when it's pretty. You see, you go out in the yard out here, and guess what you see? You see these jacked up trucks parked side by side. And I used to be this way. I can remember when I was 16 years old, the first car I had was a Nova, and it was Trans Am blue, and it had rally wheels on it. And I washed it, Brother Tom, every Friday. Had somebody tell me, boy, you're going to wash the paint off of that thing. And I got to notice it on the back quarter panel at the top where I'd washed it so much, it was like I was sanding it. The white was starting to come through, and I had to slow down a little bit. But everywhere I went, I wanted people to see my car. I wanted them to behold my car. I come in this morning, and I walked around the corner from the kitchen, and it was like I had been shocked with that AED, but I wasn't shocked. I just saw Brother Tommy's suit. And I thought, he needs to walk down to the ER. He might bring life back to somebody. It was, behold, it's like this. It's look at this. It's take notice. It's like, you've got to see this. You know, I'm proud for them, but we got some young people in our church that just bought their first house. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know, when they get a picture of it and people come over, you know what you want to do? You want to walk them through. You want to show them what God has blessed you to be able to have. I look right here on this front row and I see a beautiful little niece of mine right here. And you want to behold all these pretty dresses and all these clothes. But I want to tell you something, folks. There's nothing in this life that can compare to how much God loves you. Amen. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that what? We could be called the sons of God. That He loved me enough that He would care that much for me. I passed by, and I like to read church signs, and I saw one that said this. It said, "We love to tell the story." What's the story? It's the story of Jesus and how much Jesus loves you. It is the greatest story that has ever been told. It is the hope for every sinner. And it is what gives us life and assurance of a future beyond this life. Now, folks, it's not that this life is not good, because it is. But when this life is over, sometimes the truth is, we get to the point we're just starting to enjoy it. And it seems like it's gone. But it's not. It's just a step from here to eternity and what God has prepared for us. And because Jesus lives, and because there is an empty tomb, we have all these promises and blessings. Now, I want you to understand how much God loves you. I want you to understand the type of love that He has for you. And here's the first thing that I want you to see. The kind of love that God has for you and the manner of love that He has for you is an educated love. If you look at the scripture that we read in the 13th chapter of John, in the first verse it said that He knew. In the third verse it said that He was knowing. In the 11th verse it said that He knew. If you go to the 18th verse it said, He said, "I know." And here's what I want you to understand. You say, "Can God really love me that much?" God loves you just like you are. It's an educated love. There's nothing that you ever go before God with that surprises Him. You say, "Well, I can't go to the altar and pour out all of my burdens because if God finds out what I've been doing, He's not going to love me." God already knows everything you've done, everything you've thought, everywhere you've been, and He went to the cross because He loves you. In spite of everything. One of my favorite verses in Psalms 103 verse 14 says this. Says, "For He knoweth our frame, and He remembereth that we are dust." You know, sometimes it's like this. Now, I'm getting a little older now. I'm a grandpa. And I get around my two grandboys and my granddaughter, and it tickles me to watch my daughter and my son-in-law try to get them to eat. One of them eats chicken nuggets and macaroni. That's it. And they try to force that youngin to eat green stuff. And I can't hardly wait till I can get him away from them. And I say, "Eli, what do you want? I'll get you anything." But I watch them and I see them and I see them going through the struggles. And they say, "He's rebellious. He's this. He's that." I just laugh. You know, when I get them with me, here's what I think, because I've been through it. I think they're just kids. Yeah. They're just kids. They'll grow out of it. Give them whatever they want. They're not going to starve to death. If they want chocolate cake for breakfast, give it to them. I want to tell you something, folks. There's nothing we bring before God that surprises Him. He knows us. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what's in our minds. We can't hide from Him. And He loves us just like we are. And He cares for me, even though I'm not perfect, even though sometimes I'm selfish, even though sometimes I'm a little bit stubborn. You see, Romans 5, don't say nothing, Kendra. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and 8 says this. It says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't come and say, I'm going to choose the best. I'm going to choose those that line up and are just a measure of me. He cared for me when I was unworthy and at my very worst. Amen. And he loved me. You see, it's an educated love. If you read through the book of Proverbs, and there are several verses in the Old Testament, and one talks about the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Nothing's hid from God, but I want you to understand this morning. There is nothing that you will do that will ever stop God from loving you. Nothing. I've had people tell me, you know, you just don't know what I've done. And I say, you just don't know the love of God. You see, the love of God is an educated love, but the love of God is also, it's an enduring love. I like this song. He loves me. He loves me. What does it say? Even when I'm bad, he still loves me. We teach that to our kids. And I look at them now, and I realize they're still growing. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun, the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. You see, it's an enduring love. And I guess you have to ask the question, aren't we thankful for God's mercy? Aren't we thankful for God's grace? And aren't we thankful for God's goodness? Now here's a little more of that 103rd Psalm. In verse 8 it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is far above the earth, so high, great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. See, he endures my stubbornness. He endures my failure and my foolishness, my mistakes. You say, well, you're a pastor. You ought not to have that. Folks, we all have that. We all have times that we need God to be enduring and to be loving and to be caring for us. I can remember one time my wife and I have shared this story before. We had first got married and we were keeping kids all the time. It's like everywhere we went, she worked in a daycare center. It's amazing how many people just don't want their kids. They don't want to raise them and they don't love them. And she'd bring them home from work, just the kind of person she was. And we kept some, one time we kept them for about 4 or 5 months. And her mom and daddy didn't even want them back. We watched them and we took care of those little kids. And of course, we were really just about kids ourselves. I remember being at church one time with those two kids. And you know, I was trying to get them to be good. Sit on the bench and be still and not make noise. Lady got up and she said, when y'all learn how to be as good a Christians as you want them to be kids, y'all will have it figured out. She had a lot more wisdom than I had, Brother Terry. But as I've gotten older, I begin to understand, I'm going to thank God for his mercy. I'm going to thank God for his love. I'm going to thank him that when I failed and when I did not do the things that he wanted me to do and I acted out in myself, that he still loved me and he didn't just cast me aside. But he cared for me. Why? Because it is an enduring love. You know, I have a couple of boys. I got one daughter that's grown, but you know, I've heard it said of a mother, and I guess this is true of a dad too. You're never happier than your least happy child. You get that phone call and when they need you, Here's what I tell my boys. I said, you can be somewhere. I don't care what you do. I don't care whose fault it is. I don't care if it's your fault, somebody else's fault. I don't care what you've gotten into. When you get in trouble, you call your daddy. I said, because if you call me, I will come because I love you and I care for you. And even when you're wrong, I want to be the one to come to where you're at. I want to tell you something. God loves you. Sometimes you may not be in full fellowship with Him, but you'll get in a point that you know you need to cry out to Him. And you look up to Him and you say, Lord. The Scripture says in Galatians chapter 4 that He hath sent forth the Spirit into our hearts wherewith we cry, Abba, Father. I'll read the verse to you. And when it's the word Abba, it's like the word daddy. It's talking about an intimate relationship and a touch. It says, because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And why do we understand that? Because nobody is going to love you like God loves you. Why do I tell my boys that? Because I tell them, son, nobody's going to love you like daddy loves you. You see, it's a educated love. It's an enduring love. And I want you to understand this too. And I'll try to move through these, but it's an all-encompassing love. And here's what I want you to understand. This love is for everybody. It's for everybody. It's for all nations. It's for all people. In Acts 17, verse 24 to 28, it said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. And hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of our own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. I heard David Wilkerson preach one time. He said, why did God create man? He said, because He wanted children. That's how much God loves you. You see, it is for all nations, it's for all people, it's for all races, but it's for all people. You know, when you look up that word all in the Greek, it means the same thing. It means all. And I want you to understand this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He loves you. He cares for you. He wants a personal relationship with you. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I know our church understands this, but for the visitors, I want you to understand this. I am not only not a Calvinist, but I am an anti-Calvinist. But because I believe the blood of Jesus is for everybody, it's for all people, as many as shall call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Romans 5:18 says this, therefore as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. That's whosoever. You say, well, you don't know me. I want to tell you, God knows you and God still loves you. And if you're here this morning in this house, it is because God has blessed you. It's a divine appointment that you are here because God wants to have a personal relationship with you. It says this in 1 John 2:2. It says, He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What about this one? Isn't there times in our lives when our hearts are heavy, when we're burdened, when we hear or we dwell or we are involved with things that just create weights to come upon us? And sometimes those weights in life are like this. It makes us question God. It makes us doubt God. It makes us wonder where God's at. And you say, well, we're not supposed to do that. I want to tell you, I've never known a human being that didn't. We just think that we're too spiritual to be honest. But there are times when we just need to come to the Lord and allow Him to open up His arms of mercy and pour out blessings on us. And He said unto the people, He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And He said, and I will give you rest. You see, that all-encompassing love that's for all people, it gives us peace in our circumstances and right where we're at. And I'm so thankful for that. I don't think I deserve it. I don't think I'm good enough for it. But you know what He said? He said, I love you. And I care for you. And you don't have to be good enough. You don't have to give enough. You don't have to do enough. You just have to be willing to accept the love that I have for you. You see, what we sometimes feel like we need to do is we say, well, I'll come to the Lord or I'll surrender my life as soon as I get things straightened out. You'll never get it straightened out by yourself. You've got to have the Lord help you and have Him give you what you don't have. You see, this is also an everlasting love. See, God has prepared a place for us, and I'm so thankful for that. Now, folks, I got a lot of things left to do here. I feel like I do anyway. You know, sometimes I think about, you know, in my life, I'd like to see my children grow up and get married, and I'd like to see my grandchildren, and, you know, I'd like to see this church expanded and a gym built over here, and I'd like to probably enjoy a few more falls in the woods. I love fall. I love being in the woods. Sometimes circumstances of our lives don't allow us to do that. Preaching two Sundays ago, and I talked about a preacher had just retired, and he moved up to Bartow County, and he was building a church, and he was building on that church, and didn't get it built, didn't get it done until God called him out. He had a stroke, and he just didn't recover. You know, people walked by and they looked at him, and here's what they said. They said, he was such a good man. He was serving God. And you know what people do? They say, why did this happen? I don't understand why this happened. Folks, our lives are just a vapor. We're not promised tomorrow, but here's the good news about what God's love is. It's an everlasting love. Because as soon as we close our eyes in this life, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That man is right now rejoicing with the Lord. See, the Lord Jesus, He wrote and He told them in John chapter 14, He gave them these words. Let not your heart be troubled, and you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, I'm going to go down a rabbit trail right here, but I'll be right back. I began to sit down last night and I began to pray and seek God, wanting God to help me to preach exactly what He wants this morning. And it seemed like the more I prayed and studied, the worse it got. I went from one message to five and I said, Lord, I need help. Because here's what come to my heart and my mind. You know, Jesus came to earth. He lived a sinless life. He was born of a virgin. He took my place and He went to a cross that was for a man named Barabbas. Barabbas represented me and He represented you. They crucified Him brutally and they took Him and put Him in a borrowed tomb of a man named Joseph of Arimathea. They went back the next morning to put spices on His body, and He wasn't there. And I begin to think about it, living in today, in the time that you and I are living in the Laodicean church age, what's next? Jesus is coming back. And I don't know if it'll be in my lifetime or your lifetime. I don't know if I'll get to enjoy all those things that I mentioned, if I'll get to see those grandkids, if I'll get to enjoy those times that I won't. But this is one thing I know. When He comes for me, I'm going to be with Him. And if the rapture comes in my lifetime, I'm going to be with Him. It's an everlasting love. It doesn't stop. And here's what I want you to understand. That means your life matters. That means that the things you do today, they matter. The decisions you make, the places you go, the people you're around, they matter, because what you do in life will echo for eternity. In Matthew 28:20, it says this. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And here's something to understand for me. Jesus was there when I was young. I can remember being in Sunday school before I ever accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I can remember the Sunday school lessons. I can remember the teachers. I can remember the people that impacted my life. I can remember the Bible schools. I can remember the homecomings. I can remember the revivals. And I can remember when a preacher was preaching a revival at Welcome Hymn Baptist Church, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and let me know that I was lost. It was like the Holy Spirit just woke me up and said, "He's talking to you." See, Jesus was there. Now as I'm growing old, I want to tell you something. From the day I got saved till now, He has been there. He's walked with me. He's talked with me. And it's evidence in my life through the Holy Spirit that I'm a child of God. He's there when we're young. He's there when we're growing old. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Everything I face, He walks with me. There have been times in my life that I've questioned God. I said, "God, I don't understand." But He was still there. And just like the disciples, when they looked at Him and there were hard sayings and some went away, they looked at the Lord and they say, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For Thou hast the words of eternal life." Here's what we need to understand. He's God and we're not. In my young life, He's God. As I'm growing old, He's God. And when I'm dying, He's God. You see, it's an everlasting love, and here's the last one. And I want you to understand something again. God loves you. It is a redeeming love. What does that mean? It'll save you. It'll save you from yourself. It'll save you from the world. It'll save you from hell. See, here's what I want us to understand about God's love. God's love is greater than my sin. We have a group of people out of this church, and I thank God for them, that go regularly to the prison. Brother Tom, some of the ladies, some of the men go up there and they tell them about Jesus. What you tell them is that it's good news for lost people, is that God's love is greater than your sin. God's love is a redeeming love. It reaches higher than the stars, and it reaches deeper than the lowest hell. See, it's a far-reaching love. It's a saving love. But in order for you to be able to have it, here's what you got to do. You got to open your heart, and you got to let Him in. Another thing that was on my heart and mind that I had to just pray about, I'm going to say this, and then we're going to let Him sing, is the blood of Jesus. Thought about this morning preaching on the blood of Jesus because it was just on my heart and my mind. And here's what I'll tell you about the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus will cover everything and anything that's brought up. Amen. Anything. Amen. If you bring something to put it under the blood of Jesus, I don't care what you've done, where you've been, what it is, who it hurt, the blood will cover it. The love of God is enough to cover it. But in order for that to happen, you got to be willing to accept it. So what does the love of God not cover? Or what does the blood of God not cover? It's what you decide to hold on to. And you say, I just don't want that. Then you don't have it. They're going to come and sing, and I want to tell you, I'm so glad that I know Jesus. I'm so glad that I know that because He lives, I can live. I'm so glad that I know that because He lives, my loved ones that are already gone on to be with the Lord, I'm going to see them again. I'm going to see my dad again. I'm going to see my little sister. I'm going to say this, and they're going to sing. I was up in the mountains of Asheville, North Carolina, and I saw a Southern Gospel group come out to sing. A man came out, and he was going to sing, and he had written a song. And during the middle of the song, when he was singing a song he wrote, he stopped, and he said this. He said, I'm going to see my son. And that so impacted me because I knew he was singing about something that he knew and he felt. Thank God for Jesus. Who do you have that you want to see? As they sang this song, I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. If God has spoke to your heart this morning, you need to make peace with God, or you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, you can come and pray. We believe in an old-fashioned altar of prayer here. If you want somebody to pray with you, they will. If you want to pray by yourself, you can do that. But you got to come and bring it. You got to accept the love of God. Would you come as they sing? Would you please come?